5, 4, 3, 2. You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vona. Nice to have you with us. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't have an appreciation for what our veterans have done and for the sacrifices made in this country, but not just in this country, but throughout the world, especially during World War II. Unfortunately for many of us, especially many young people, they really have no record, no vivid images of what took place. That is up until now. A new book entitled Aftershock, The Human Toll of War, Haunting World War II Images by American Soldiers and Photographers. Just a beautiful, unbelievably clear pictures from all over the world, taken by U.S. soldiers, soldier photographers during World War II, have now been compiled in a new book. And the author is my guest this week. Richard Cahan is a journalist, and I got to say, a man who really put forth so much energy and dedication in putting this book together. So I've asked him to come on this evening, and we'll talk about what these photographs represent, not only to Richard himself, but certainly to anyone who has the opportunity to see this book. Richard, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Al. I appreciate it.
You know, you and I talked a little bit before broadcast, and just flipping through the pages, I thought, well, okay, these would be just, you know, black and white photographs that, maybe there'll be some clarity there. You'll be able to see some images of people's faces and whatnot. Unbelievable work. First of all, how do you get photographs that go back to World War II to look as if they were taken yesterday?
Well, this is a special project. The photographs are at the National Archives in College Park, Maryland, and my colleagues and I visited College Park for many weeks, and we went through, we picked about 400 photographs, I think there's 200 in the books that we really wanted to consider in the books, and then we were allowed to take the negatives, the actual negatives that were used by soldiers in the field during World War II, and take those negatives, place them on a scanner, so this is old technology and new technology, and make scans of those photographs. The negatives that they used were, if your listeners are old enough to know about negatives, they were very large negatives. They were 4 inches by 5 inches in size. So these negatives and these scanners love each other. The negatives are filled with information, and the scanner has the ability to grab it all. And so that's why the photos in the book look, many of the photographs have never been seen before, but even the photos that have been seen before, you've never seen them like this. They're clear and almost three-dimensional.
And I want to add that, you know, obviously many people would say, well, geez, you know, where's the story? The story
right.
is in the pictures. And I got to tell you, Richard, again, you don't have to put a word in that book. Those photographs bring forth the emotions that people went through, and we'll get into that as we go through this evening. The emotions that people had, the destruction, the times of euphoric feelings, the sadness, so many emotions came forth, at least for me, and I got to imagine that anybody that has the opportunity to pick up the book would certainly feel the same way. But let me ask you, I mean, obviously you could have gone either way. You could have made this a chapter book with, you could have written something and then showed a few photographs. But why did you choose all photographs?
Well, you know, there's a lot of each photograph has a long caption, and there's a lot of words actually snuck into the book, about 25,000 words. But I don't think people even notice it because they're so overwhelmed by the photographs that then when they read the copy, it just is very easy. It's really not a portfolio of great photographs. It's really a story of what happened in 1945. Almost every picture in the book was taken in 1945. And you mentioned arranging it in chapters. Instead, we just arranged it the way the pictures fell naturally. We arranged it in chronological order. The first picture is on January 1st, 1945, and the last picture is after Christmas in 1945. And we let the story tell itself, and we use those pictures as a jumping off point to explain what the picture was all about and why it's important for telling the story of the last year of the war.
And I want people to know, these pictures, again, were taken by GIs right there at that very moment.
Yes, these were Army photographers. They were part of what was called the Signal Corps, which was responsible for communications by the Army. And so besides just walkie-talkies, the Signal Corps was in charge of getting the story out. So they hired hundreds of photographers, and these men were incredibly brave. They were almost always on the front line because that's where the pictures were, and they almost always were just carrying a camera instead of a gun. So, you know, imagine going off to war, especially World War, well, any war, and carrying a gun instead of, you know, carrying a camera instead of a gun.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, these photographs are right there, right on the money, as they say. Another thing that stood out for me is the fact that, as you said, these were taken basically as things were wrapping up at the culmination of everything. Was that the intent?
It was. You know, there's a lot of books that show incredible action photos of the war, D-Day, and soldiers with guns and hitting the Pacific beaches. And there's certainly nothing wrong with those books. But this book really focuses on the impact. The book's title, Aftershock, The Human Impact of War. And it really looks at what war causes. And we wanted to remember this because somehow we forget over generations, over years, and over generations. And this war was a total war, which means that more civilians were killed in this war than soldiers, and millions and millions of people killed, up to 60 million people during World War II. And 1945 was really the worst of all the years because that's the year when we dropped bombs on Germany and Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the year that the concentration camps were emptied. And so we thought it was important. You know, this book is really for history buffs, but it's also for people who really want to understand what war is all about.
Yeah, in fact, clearly one of the words that I think define all of this is the atrocities of war. As you said, shortly after Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the bombing of Berlin, but also, and many people who've had the opportunity to see photographs or pictures of pre-World War II Europe, you know, the major cities, beautiful, bucolic, I guess, for lack of another term, and then all of a sudden this total destruction. How extensive was it, Richard?
Well, if you lived in Europe or the Philippines or parts of China and Burma, it's probable that you went hungry for several years. We have pictures of German citizens literally eating horse meat on the streets. So certainly that. Obviously, if you lived in the war zones or anywhere near, you were always it was always possible that your neighborhood, your home would be bombed, and people, you know, rush to shelters. And there's pictures of rubble in Belgium. So it was a many year terror that started in the late 30s and continued all the way through, you know, mid or almost towards the end of 1945.
I was also surprised that many of these photographs, wanted to get your sense on this, have never been seen before. Is that something that the government kept under wraps for some reason, or just that nobody has taken the initiative?
Many of these photographs were censored during the war. And after the war, they were made available slowly. The Army transferred them to the National Archives in the early 1950s, and they've really been available since then. And the work by this Signal Corps group of photographers is really well known, especially their work earlier in the war, the action photos that I mentioned. But, you know, if you're telling a history of World War II, by the time 1945 rolls around, the action has slowed down, and most history books don't really concentrate on it as much as they do the earlier photographs. So they certainly have been seen before. Many of them have never been published before, but even the ones that were published before, they were published, you know, they were published from prints that were made in enlargers, and it's a big difference between that and scanning photographs.
I want to come back and talk about the those individuals who were part and parcel of the Signal Corps, but I just want to take a quick pause, let folks know you're tuned to 90.5 WICN Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. My guest this week is Richard Cahan, and he co-authored a terrific book of photographs. The book is entitled Aftershock, The Human Toll of War, Haunting World War II Images by America's Soldiers. And those soldiers were part of the Signal Corps, as Rich has been talking about. Rich, did you have the opportunity at any time in preparation or putting the book together, that's if any of them were still alive, to interview any of the former members of the Signal Corps who were actually there and took some of these photographs?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a book about 1945, which was 75 years ago, and most of the photographers were pretty mature by the time they went overseas. They were generally between 22 and at least, you know, 25 and 30. So they all would be at least 97 years old now. There's only a few alive, and we did get a chance to talk to two of them, but most of the several hundred, we never even figured out exactly how many. My guess is between 500 and 800 photographers. Most of them are no longer living, or they're in a state that they really, you know, can't talk about, you know, their war experiences.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a lot of luck, but we did have luck talking to most of the photographers' families. And so we tracked down their stories. Many of them wrote memoirs. Many of them gave interviews while they were still alive. And the book really, there's a couple of levels of the book, and one of the level is their story.
The reason I asked that, and I think you can appreciate this too, that the book, you can't help but open that book, and by the time you've gone through all the pages and seen the photographs, you can't help but feel, one, humbled, but also the despair of human suffrage, I guess. And I'm not trying to polish this and make it something it's not. It's actually, you know, this was World War II. Almost every continent was involved in some form, some manner. But in talking to these families, or at least getting the opportunity to read in memoirs, did you get a sense as to what personal effect seeing these, taking these photographs right up there, being right there at the moment, had on these people?
Oh, absolutely. First off, I think most of the soldiers that came back after the war were amazed that they were alive. You know, they were, I said that they were on the front line. Sometimes they were in front of the front line. Sometimes they were caught between Allies and Axis troops, and they had to kind of sneak back because they always wanted to get that, you know, front line, almost looking back at the soldiers coming at them. So they were amazed that they were alive. They lived quite, you know, an amazing adventure. If you were a GI, you know, just a fighting GI, you didn't see this kind of action. This action was constant. Most of them, I found out, didn't take pictures after the war professionally. I think that they felt that they had seen it all. You know, what was there to photograph after being in concentration camps or being at Nagasaki or Hiroshima. You know, some of them did. One photographer, Yale Joel, he was the Yale Lapidus when he was in the Army, became a very famous Life magazine photographer. And there were a couple. But on the whole, most of them went into kind of related fields, printers, journalists, things like that. And even though they picked up their camera, according to their families, and oftentimes had a, you know, a personal darkroom, they weren't professional photographers later in their lives. They, you know, what was there to photograph now?
Right, right. The once powerful German and Japanese armies obviously were buckled at the knee at the end of World War II, and you know, the book certainly shows vividly the destruction and the despair of,
right,
of a people who at one time thought that they were going to be part of taking over the world, and that certainly never happened, thank God. But more importantly, did any of that, I know you said a lot of times most of these photographs have been kept under wraps, but for example, the Nuremberg trials, were
right,
any of these photographs introduced as proof or evidence of the atrocities committed?
They were. These photographs were very important for that. So the photographs were taken for a bunch of reasons, and one of them was the documentation of atrocities. I'm so happy that you asked me that question. Another reason was for strategic. Sometimes the frontline photographer would take photographs and send them back to the generals so that they could understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the photographs were taken because they were sent back to London or Paris later in the war and then radio transmitted to America. So it's how we learned about the war. And that was a really important part of the whole process. But I think that this documentation of what happened is really a gift that these men left for us, for our generation. You know, people say we forget war, and there's no forgetting what happened if you take a look at this book. And I'm so glad that you used the word beautiful, because I think that the pictures are harrowing and disturbing, and we really didn't pull many punches. This is really how it looked, but there's also a beauty and a humanity. We always looked for humanity. There's a picture of a couple a Japanese couple that had been trapped in a cave on Japan during the fighting, and when they were found, they got married, and the GI is playing the accordion behind them. So it's also really a book look at humanity, and boy, humanity is really tested during times like this.
Yeah, I want to clarify for people, because I might have said it at the outset, but yes, these photographs depict World War II, but I don't want people to get the notion that this is another war book. I mean, in some sense it is. I mean, you know, Richard has said it himself. But more importantly, there were more, as you said earlier, there were more civilians. These photographs depicted more civilian life after the war, and that's really what it was all about. I mean, the massive armies had already been destroyed, broken down, and there was certainly enough talked about and probably shown about with them, but the people left behind, the people that really had no say in things, Richard, that's what the book, so what effect did that have on you?
I was shocked at the extent of the war. It involves so much, you know, there's pictures from Burma, and there's, you know, Thailand and the Middle East, and I was absolutely affected by the totality of it all. You know, we don't see many pictures in war books, and this frankly is more of an anti-war book than a war book, of people, right, of what war. You know, somebody once wrote that the farther you get from being a decision maker in war, the more effect war has on you, and that's, you know, that's sad but true, and you can really see that in this book. And you can also see, it's a book about the past, but it's also a book about the present. There's pictures of Jewish refugees dancing as they're waiting to be sent to Palestine, and there's pictures of demonstrations about Indochina during the late 1940s. And so a lot of the seeds of life today were planted, you know, during 1945.
The amazing thing, at least for me, and I want to get your sense on this, is that I want to use the word relief. In many of the photographs, and I think you alluded to it, showed small. It might not have been in total, but just happy to finally hear that the war had ended. That an American soldier was not going to shoot you, or vice versa. People took just joy in being married and coming out of a cave and being married, and people sitting on the side of a street, seeing total devastation. Their homes, buildings, the cities that they once and villages that they once grew up in, completely gone, and yet optimistic about what will be, or what is bound to happen now as we rebuild. I mean, the thought of rebuilding seems almost impossible.
I agree. The fact that Europe has been, you know, pretty much totally rebuilt is amazing. And just the surrealness of the end of the war, as thousands and thousands of German troops surrendered, and sometimes they surrendered to the photographers who had no guns. You know, they said, "Please take me. We want to be, you know, we want to go to prison. We want to be out of the line of action."
Yeah.
And you know, here all of a sudden, 2 days earlier they were mortal enemies, and now they're walking in the same street, and they're, you know, the Germans want to be protected, and it's a really important year. Next year, 2020, is actually the 75th anniversary of 1945 and the end of the war, and so I think it's a good time to look back and as you say, it's a book of humanity, kind of the best and the worst of humanity.
The expressions, I know there is dialogue in there, and as I said, it's not necessarily, you know, 20 pages of reading and then a few photographs. It's primarily photographs, but looking at expressions, and if you have any sense of being able to read a person, and I think all of us have some talent for doing
that.
Watching those, looking at those photographs, and just seeing relief, misery, suffering, you know, agony, whatever it may be, comes through very clearly, and it's amazing how a human being reacts to different stimuli. In this case, a horrific war that lasted what seems like forever. So I've got to say that these photographers, and I know you said they weren't all professional,
but they
certainly captured a certain look. They getting the face, getting the lines on someone's face, a small smile or a frown, said it all, right?
Absolutely. You know, these, as you say, most of these were amateurs, but they were taught really well for several months in the States before they were sent overseas. And their photographs have an intimacy. I'm a big fan of Old Life magazine, and I think it was amazing, the professionals that worked there. But there's an intimacy here that you don't get because these people were, you know, we use the word embedded. They were more than embedded. They were, you know, they were part of this whole human wave of soldiers. And so you see on the soldier's face and you see on the civilian's face, they took their job really seriously. They filed their negatives. Very few of them ever talked about the war. And I wondered why, you know, their family said. And I think the reason is they left their record behind. And that was the responsibility of another generation to find them and to, you know, share them with America, with the world.
As you and I are talking this evening, we've already, you know, we've both, obviously you put the book together and I've had the opportunity to go through the book in its entirety. And already images are in my mind. I can only imagine, because you've said it many times this evening, that families of the photographers saying clearly that, you know, he or she never really talked about it. And I got to believe with a combination of things, and I want to get your sense on this. One is the absolute destruction of many parts of the world and the human misery. But once it becomes imprinted on your mind, you really don't want to talk about it anymore, because those images are constantly going. It is for me anyway. It's almost like a 24-hour movie reel. It's just going over and over and over again. I mean, how was it for you?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we're kind of divided into picture people and word people. And there's been many books written about the end of the war in 1945. But until you see these pictures, and we always show the entire negative in the pictures and actually the film holders, because we saw this as evidence. And until you see this, you can read all you want about the effect of war. But if you see some of these pictures, like you say, they're going to stay with you forever.
We got just a few moments left, but I got to ask you, after compiling the pictures, putting them into the book, did you get, what in your mind, was the destruction and the misery much greater than you would have ever imagined otherwise?
Absolutely, it was. And I actually have a connection to one of the pictures. My father helped a group of women who had been on a death march, and he was there when the women were found in a barn, and they all weighed about 75 pounds. Mm. And he talked about it, and some of these women had actually written my mother, who was a young bride at the time, but until I saw this picture of what this woman looked like in a bunk in a barn or in a hospital by the time they took their picture, you know, no matter, again, words couldn't tell me what he went through and what he saw until I saw this picture. And I think that's the case. I think there are pictures here that people will never forget. And not because I put them in the book, but because they were taken by this incredible group of photographers.
Yeah, and you talk about that same image you were talking about. I mean, you know, if you miss breakfast or between breakfast and lunch, we complain that we've got a growl in our stomach. And these people coming out emaciated, hadn't had a meal in probably months, if not longer. It's amazing the resilience of the human being when put into that position.
And the photographers went through a tremendous amount too to take these pictures. Carol Guzzi, who's won 4 Pulitzer Prizes in photography, wrote an introduction that talks about the human toll on photographers. You know, you don't just see this in your camera and then be able to put it away for the rest of your life. You know, I talked to the brother of one of these photographers, who said his brother had nightmares the rest of his life.
Oh, I can imagine why. I mean, as you said earlier, I mean, a lot of the families said that the individuals who took these photographs never really talked much about it, and now I know why.
Yeah,
it was just something that just scars you for life, or stays with you, I should say, for life, and you just can't get rid of that image, and you don't need to say anything because no words can describe what took place. Real quick, if people want to get more information about the book or your research on this, or just contact you directly as a way of doing so?
Sure. It should be widely available in bookstores. It should be online. And they can also, if they want signed copies, they can come to our website, cityfilespress.com. That's all one word, city and F-I-L-E-S, press.com. And we sign books and we inscribe books. And we think it's an important book for people who care about history.
Absolutely important book. And as Richard said, the 2020 will mark the 75th anniversary of 1945 and the culmination of World War II. Richard Cahan has been my guest this evening. The book is Aftershock, probably the nicest, the best book I've ever seen with clarity of pictures depicting right at the culmination of World War II from Asia, Japanese war-torn cities throughout Europe, and the human toll and the human suffering. Aftershock, The Human Toll of War, Haunting World War II Images by American Soldiers and Photographers. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios of WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona.